This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Ollie and Si on FUBAR Radio.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here with you as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. And hello, Earthlings. We'll get into what's been trending worldwide in a sec. Seb will be here, our newsreader.
I went to Cornwall over the weekend. Had a lovely weekend in the sun.
You struck it lucky, didn't you?
Well, in what you call an old man's holiday, I mean, you ridiculed me for being like fuddy and old.
What I'm saying, and it's a fair observation, is that you are nesting. You've got nesting syndrome. You know, you're in a relationship.
What do you mean? Nesting syndrome? Yeah, so that makes it sound negative.
Well, what I'm saying is that we used to go out, didn't we? All we used to do is like play golf, go to the pub.
You stopped playing golf. I play golf all the time.
What I'm saying is that you're in a relationship now.
Yeah.
And you're quite house proud. You like cooking.
I've always liked cooking, regardless.
You and Hayley travel around the country going to Michelin star restaurants.
Yeah, that's, been to two. But that's so an, again, that's an you're old, just exaggerating.
It's an old thing to do.
It's
though,
not old,
isn't it? You were wearing pink shorts at the weekend.
What's wrong with that pink pastel shorts? What's wrong with that? Very
just
hip.
Just saying.
Very cool. It was lovely. I had a lovely time. Went to a few nice restaurants. Went to a B&B, which was nice. I was slightly irritated, though, because even though the setting was stunning, it was on like a farm, it was like a converted barn. We had beautiful breakfast, and it was, you know, walking distance to the main place where we were going to eat. Everything was really convenient and lovely. Private off-road parking, you think, ideal. However, the allocated space they gave us, which I never thought about twice, I realised the next day was under a tree. And when I say caked in bird shit, I mean it had so much bird crap on the windscreen that I couldn't drive the car. And it's a brand new car. Like, I was livid. I didn't want to be, because we had a very chilled out, summery, romantic couple of days. And I was lit. Me and Hayley were out there genuinely with spray that the car manufacturer gave us and toilet roll scraping bird shit off my car.
Do you want to know what's another sign of getting old? Car proud.
Oh, I'm not. Oh, you know me. I'm not that car. Like, I don't know what it does. It's white and it's got a logo.
No,
you are.
You've got a new car and you are quite proud of it.
Well, I like it to be clean. Like, I'd never clean it myself. I'd never clean it ever. Every so often, I'd nip it to the garage, like around the corner from my from the supermarket to get it clean. But I'd never clean my car. I'm not proud of it like those people on Saturday mornings out there for 2 hours with a bucket. I'd never do that ever. But I couldn't see through. And it's also, like, a bit of mud. I'll let it get a bit muddy. But, like, bird crap on the windscreen. Look, it just makes it look
also
awful.
I think bird crap does, like, break down the paint. It's got stuff in it, isn't it?
I know. That's why I have this special spray. The guy just goes, oh, look, here's your new car. This is the one thing you'll need. If you get bird crap on your car, put this spray on it immediately because it will damage the value of the car.
I love that. He's got it ready, though. He knows. Like, he's like, well, I know what's going to happen. They're going to come, there's going to be bird shit anywhere. Yeah. I'll upsell them this.
No, it didn't cost me. It just came with the car. It was in the glove box. But I was just like, right, okay.
Oh, I thought the guy from the B&B had
No, sorry.
You go in, oh, I've got bird shit all over my car. Oh, not sorry. We've got this $5.99 bird shit cleaner.
Oh, that would be clever, though.
Next guy turns
I would
up.
Have paid it.
Where do I park my car? Just over there, mate.
Just over there, right under that tree. Yeah, I'd pay for that, though, if they had have done it.
My girlfriend went to a hen do over the weekend. And Jess and Nick. So Jess hosted the hen do at her house.
She's the bride to be.
No, she's not actually. But she was hosting the hen do.
Right.
It was Chantelle, the bride, but Jess was hosting it. Kate and Jess are very good friends. Nick, Jess's partner, went off to Field Day in London to the festival because that's where the stag do was. Now, I wasn't on the stag do. I was in Stratford, our hometown. So I was out. I had such nice weather. I went cycling in the evening and then I had dinner by the river with one of my friends. We stayed up late. Kate had been sending me pictures all day of, like, they've got like pigtails, like listening to Spice Girls. They've got glitter on. They're like just like having a whale of a time. They set up a teepee in the garden, having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Late at night, they've been drinking all day. Kate sends me a message, say, oh, what are you up to? It was sort of petering out the thing. She said, why don't you come over? Straight away, I'm thinking.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't.
I'd rather stay on.
I'm outnumbered there.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to be the only guy walking into a.
No, no.
But late at night, she said, oh, I'll come and stay at yours. I said, fine, I'll come over and meet you and then we'll head on. So I go over there, I walk into the teepee and everyone's like, oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Jess's dog's there. It's come to the party.
The what, dog, like a guest?
Yeah, the dog is a guest at the hen do.
Are you joking?
No.
What goes on
Lola.
The night out and everything?
So it's there all day, having a great time.
Oh, my God.
It's in the teepee. And had like a nice decorative neck scarf on.
You know, I hate how people treat their dogs so adult-like. They are just dogs, right? They just want to be petted and to be fed. Like, that's the only reason they ever give people attention and, like, you know, loyalty is because they get fed and petted by that person.
So the next day, Sunday, is nice and sunny. We all decide to go punting on the river. Nick comes back from field day. He's obviously got a terrible hangover. He's been on the stag do. And we persuade him to come out. All you got to do is lie in the punt, Nick, relax. He's like, all right, okay, fine. Six of us head off upstream. And halfway upstream, everyone's sort of quite quiet. It's like really tranquil. We're away from sort of the busy town centre and... it's like we're going past those like beautiful gardens and people are just out having food. It's a nice day. Nick suddenly goes, Jess, have you painted the fucking dog's nails?
Oh, God. Had they?
Jess goes, Nick, it's a hen do.
Like, what do you expect?
She was on the hen do too. And Lola's just got these bright, like, pink nails. But what was really funny, later on when we went out for lunch and every time, like, another dog came over and Lola started running around, Jess was like, oh, there she is, flirting.
Oh, for goodness sake.
But the thing was...
Why are they doing that?
Because she had a neck scarf on and painted nails, she did look quite sassy.
No, but the dog didn't evolve to have, like... You know, nail varnish on, did it? It doesn't... Oh, I hate...
She
I
was,
hate
like, trotting people... around and it looked like she was being sassy.
No, oh, I hate it when people treat their dogs like that. It's it's ridiculous. They look so stupid.
Anyway, coming up in Twitter news, we talk FIFA, BBC News. That was a big cock-up, wasn't it?
Yeah, massive.
And we'll find out what's going on. Sebastian will be here next.
Right. giving radio the finger.
This is FUBAR. Ollie, Simon and Seb, our newsreader, are here as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth and around the world trending on Twitter. Sebastian.
Yeah, beginning with, well, we just talked about it last week, hashtag FIFA, of course. FIFA part two.
Can you put my mic up? Cheers, mate. Yeah, when we talked about FIFA last week, we recorded it a couple of days before it.
Yeah.
And what a difference a day makes.
Absolutely.
Of course, he's gone.
Yeah. Sepp Blatter, of course, resigning his position because he realised that actually he doesn't have any support in the world. The FIFA executives like him and everybody else hates him.
Coincidentally, there was a film released in America, like a big cinema release film, about the history of FIFA. It was a high budget documentary that was released in cinemas.
Yeah.
And it just couldn't have been worse timing. Absolutely flopped in the box office.
Did it?
Yeah.
So it was just like a celebratory documentary.
So Blatter has resigned, although I should say he's actually resigning in December. He's resigned, but he's not
really
resigned.
I didn't realise that.
He's still going to be in charge until December.
Imagine how awkward it would be around the office. You know, because we sometimes have this at work. You know, sometimes where you go, we're fine in like the studio bit because sort of we're left to our own area, aren't we? But occasionally we have to slip off into the kitchen, which is like going into like Maud. It's like a NATO zone, isn't it? Everyone's safe in there. Everyone can go in. But I hate that sometimes where you've got a set amount of time where you're making a cup of tea and someone else walks in and you have to make conversation.
Oh, yeah, you can't stand there and there in silence.
So you have to make conversation for the amount of time.
That is so true.
Isn't it? And it might be like someone from sales and I just don't know what to say to them.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, when you're making conversation and both of you are thinking, do you know what? I don't want to be making conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, of course you don't.
Maybe people just don't like talking to you. Anyway, yeah, so Blatter, he's going, but he's going to have a hand over how everything works over the next 6 months. Probably will handpick his successor and make sure that the next World Cup goes to the Islamic State in between.
And probably pick their pockets.
Well, it's absolutely true that one... How often is the ballot for re-electing the president?
No, it's every 4 years.
Every 4 years. So I think it was the last one, the one before. Mm-hmm. No one contested him.
Yeah.
But they still did the voting process. So there's pictures of the ballot papers online, and it's just like, who would you like to be the next president? And then just Sepp Blatter in the box, and that's it. So you couldn't do anything but tick that box.
I don't understand, if he's guilty of bribery or knowing about the bribery, how he can even stay until then.
Because this is the world of FIFA. I think
nothing makes sense.
The most disappointed person is going to be Robert Mugabe because he's no longer the most corrupt president left in the world, is he? Now Sepp Blatter's gone. He's got that back again. Anyway, moving on to hashtag Alton Towers.
This
is shocking. This accident on the ironically named Smiler ride.
Simon and I had been invited to go to Alton Towers the following week after the accident for a big press junket, and then we were going to do the big 6 roller coasters in one day. That was the invitation. And obviously I'm assuming that's been cancelled. Unless they reword it to the big 5.
Yeah.
in all seriousness, one of the girls we're now hearing who involved in this accident has had her leg amputated.
There was a lot of speculation.
17 years old.
It's funny, actually, because there's a lot of speculation on the day on Twitter, because they had the police helicopter overhead, and they did, apparently, they did some major trauma work actually on the roller coaster.
Yeah, I've seen like a reconstructed, almost like cartoon, like a IT visual effect thing, where they show the roller coaster and then the carriage containing the people. Halfway round, there's just a carriage just halfway on the track that never returned back.
Yeah.
And supposedly the system in place should be so that no two carriages can be on the ride at one time. It will just cut out, but it didn't. So they must have been going round and going, hang on, I can see that coming up. In a second, after the loop-de-loop, I'm going on into that.
Did you see that god-awful interview with Kay Burley and the head of Merlin Entertainment?
Have you seen this yet? Oh, I haven't,
It was the most unprofessional piece of journalism I've ever seen.
Well, it's really interesting, because we know a few, including Seb, we know a few news guys, and they all are big fan of hers. She was a judge at the IRN Awards, and a few of our friends were nominated, and she was one of the judges, came over and complimented them. They've always loved her. I'd love to get their opinion on that interview, because it was so awkward. It went on for about 15 minutes. She had, Varney? Is it, what's his name? The head of Alton Towers.
Someone,
Nick Varney. Yeah. And they had him on like video chat.
Mm.
And she started asking him questions, and then really ramped up the pressure by being like, you know, how can you condone putting people's lives at risk if you think that this level of health and safety is completely fine?
I thought he came across really well. The bottom line is that he hasn't caused an accident. He is overseeing a massive company of which something has gone drastically wrong, and there is a company that made that roller coaster and implemented the safety procedures. What he said was, we are going to put an extra layer of safety in. And she kept saying to him, well, it's too late to put that in now. And it was just really silly.
It was awful. Like, she was getting really, really arsey with him.
They've also closed Saw at Thorpe Park because that's made by the same company.
Yeah, they've had to close them all. But there's now a 4,000 person strong petition to sack Kay Burley online because of it. 4,000 people have signed it.
The ninth victim of the Alton Towers crash.
Exactly.
I was going to say, not the first time a 17-year-old has come back legless from Alton Towers, is it? Anyway, moving on to hashtag solar plane. You probably find this one quite interesting, Ollie. This is this world record attempt to fly all the way around the world in a plane powered by solar panels on the wings. It's got something like 17,000 or something like that, solar panels, and probably more than that, on the wings. Electrical energy from the sun powered it.
Did it get all the way around and they got to England where it's overcast?
No,
and it just sort of...
No, it turned to night and then it just fell. No, I'm joking.
It was believable.
Guys,
we didn't account for night time.
It was the Pacific crossing, and it's such a long crossing. And
that's the last place you want it, isn't it?
The weather forecast was so bad that they had to put it down, which was such a great
shame. Put it down where?
Well, go and land. Obviously, they obviously plan before. They didn't go halfway across the Pacific and go, oh, it's a storm. They'll obviously forecast it and go, well, we can't cross because that's there.
Yeah. Oh, so it's landed safely.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry, it didn't sound a bit.
Yeah. But I was going to say, I mean, how realistic is this as like the future as a plane person?
This is really interesting because, I mean, I've been driving an electric car recently. I'm really, really excited by electric technology and fuel cell technology, which could be the future. Ammonia fuel cells are really, really exciting, non-toxic, don't give off any emissions, but can produce a lot of power. Mm. That's really, really exciting. I met somebody who worked for that company when I was travelling.
Wow.
Yeah. And he quit his job. He was one of the engineers, and he quit his job because he said, we are ready to go with the technology. The oil companies won't let us go.
Because they're making so much
money. A lot of
money.
The oil companies are buying out.
Really?
The
capitalistic world we live in.
Well, you know, this is it. But what is exciting is that the technology is there, and inevitably we will run out of fossil fuel, or it will become, you know, soon, it will become a real threat.
It's
and then
finite.
Suddenly...
I've still got high hopes the hot air balloon will come through. Just at the last minute. Just tie a few together. Take as many as an EasyJet could. Might take a few days, but, you know. Look great.
You probably have more room, actually, in there than some planes. So interesting to see what happens with that one. And then finally, my highlight story of the week. Hashtag Queen dies.
Oh, this was brilliant.
If anyone hasn't heard,
this was just after the show last week, wasn't it?
This is unbelievable. This is the BBC doing a bit of a trial run of what would happen if the Queen was to die.
So they have already banked. There is a department.
Oh yeah,
just making.
I mean,
they've already got all of the footage and everything from when everyone.
I've seen that. I've seen it.
Morbid.
Isn't it?
Yeah, no, I've seen it on past work experience at BBC.
So they've got like
I've still got my contact details. They have
so
all
like the highlights. The highlights little 2 minute package they do after the football's finished, like the best bits of the game.
I've seen Tony Blair's one. You know, the thing for him. It's going to happen just in case. Obviously, something dramatic happens.
Yeah.
So anyway, they were going through sort of a mock. What would happen? What would you do?
This obituary is a
process.
Procedure.
Obituary procedure, absolutely. Which unfortunately included one of the journalists not tweeting. In the actual practice, but tweeting for real, that the Queen had died. And what made this even more remarkable is...
From a BBC account?
From her own personal BBC account. Oh. That she said that the Queen had gone into this hospital, been taken ill, and had died in this hospital.
But it was all hypothetical for their training.
Yeah, all hypothetical. Unfortunately, as it happened, by coincidence, the Queen had actually gone to that hospital in real life.
Oh my God.
That morning.
What are the chances of that?
For a routine checkup.
I'm trying to work out.
Just comes out fine, and everyone's there like, oh, she's back! She's like, sorry. Just blowing her nose. Sorry.
I'm trying to work out whether she turned up late and didn't realise they're having a practice run.
Mm.
Or she accidentally sent...
I think she accidentally sent the tweet, and I think disciplinary procedures are now being taken against her because, I mean, it just went all over Twitter.
Mm.
Because, you know, there are certain things you don't do. It's like saying, you know, fire in a cinema.
I can
you
imagine
don't say that, it. You don't tweet the Queen's died.
No. I can imagine, like, in a... Sort of she's new and in a role-playing situation with her manager. Her manager's just like, right, so you just got to tweet. And she goes, all right, just something like, you know, the Queen's in hospital, and then I just send it. So I'd just send that, would I? I'd just send that, and then it would go. Like, yeah, exactly that, yeah.
It caused a massive...
You didn't actually send that, did you? Yeah, I did, yeah.
So it caused a massive furore, and this poor girl has sort of preempted the Queen's death. Because the unforeseen consequence that when people started tweeting Charles Kennedy had died, everyone thought he was still alive as well. But he has gone.
That is sad.
He's gone.
The problem for that one girl, though, is that she's going to be boy crying to wolf now, because if she breaks the news when it really happens, everyone's going, yeah, fuck off, love. It's not, no way. No, we've seen this all before, haven't we?
The girl who cried wolf.
Get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You get a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living. See, my old man's got a problem. Yeah, with the bottle, that's the way it is. He says body's too old for working. His body's too young to look like his. My mama went off and left him. She wanted more from life than he could give. I said somebody's got to take care of him. So I quit school and that's what I did. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? We gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way. So I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights day out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. Had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves. Still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter. Buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs. So I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, it felt like I was drunk. City lights day out before us. And your arm felt nice, wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. someone, be someone. You got a fast car, I got a job that pays all our bills. Still drinking late at the bar, some more your friends than you do your kids. I'd always hope for better, thought maybe together you and me find it. I got no plans, I ain't going nowhere. So take your fast car and keep on driving. So I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, it felt like I was drunk. City lights day out before us, your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder, and I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car, is it fast enough so you can fly away? You gotta make a decision, leave tonight or live and die this way.
Ollie Gallant and Cy Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here. We're joined by our good friend Sebastian, as always. I'm trying to book a stag do at the moment for my soon-to-be brother-in-law.
Yeah, you're going to be the best man as well, which is odd.
You're the best man?
Yeah.
Has he not got any friends of his own? Why is he picking you?
I must admit, I have asked the same question, if I'm really honest. I have asked that question.
What did he say?
Well, no, I've not asked him that.
Sorry.
Insult.
What if he does? Does he listen to this?
No.
Oh.
No. I don't think so. Let's hope not. I think he kind of did. Do you know, honestly, I think he did it for Soph.
I think Who is his sister?
Your sister.
Yeah. I think he did it for her, really. Right. It's a nice thing, isn't it, to have your brother as your husband's best man at the wedding.
Yeah, but you've got to give a speech thing. And it sounds like
I remember when we first
met. You hardly know him.
Yeah, that's a tricky
What's
one.
His middle name? But, you know, what's his middle name?
What's his first name?
Paul.
What's his surname? Oh, come off it.
No, I know this.
His surname?
No, I know this.
It's going to be your sister's surname soon.
What does he look like?
Are you joking?
Yeah, but I've got a really bad memory.
Memory like a goldfish. Thank you very much.
Paul. Oh, what is it?
You're going to have to invite every.
Paul D something, Paul D.
You're going to have to invite every Paul
D.
you know on
well,
this
like Jack D.
D something.
But
I'm not worried about the best man's speech. It's formulaic, isn't it? You know, I can talk about my
God,
sister.
Then what
a
are you going to do?
So anyway, what in the speech?
Ting 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 ting. Please pray silence for the best man, Oliver. Forgot his surname.
Now
are you stand up?
We all know Paul. I mean,
great surname.
How about Paul? What a guy! We've all got great stories to tell about Paul.
Don't ruin it. Ding 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 ding. Pray silence for the best man, Ollie Gallant.
Well, I'm glad everyone made it here to Greece.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, that was a bit expensive, wasn't it? Thank you.
Oh, he's good, this Ollie guy. You should do this on the radio.
Well, what can I say about Paul?
Is that how you're going to start it?
Where do I begin?
Well, maybe actually this is an opportunity because at least you know the bride really well. It's your sister. She's a bit older. Maybe just talk about her.
No, that's exactly what I do. I think, you know, if I'm being...
Mention it, because it's polite, but, you know...
If I'm being really, really honest, I think, you know, that he's just a really sound bloke that makes her really, really happy and healthy.
Yeah, we've heard that all before, though, mate. Like, for a best man speech, you're going to have to go above and beyond.
That's like from bestmanspeech.co.uk, that is.
Yeah. He's a really top bloke. Just like, I mean, come
on. Substitute guy, lad, friend...
I
Or in this case, acquaintance.
I'm just not that worried about it. I blag everything.
Human being.
I just blag it. It'll be fine.
Oh, that is the... You're not going to take any notes?
People
up?
Are easily emotionally manipulated. Do you know
That's
what I mean?
Reassuring.
They
wow.
They are, though, aren't they?
So you're not going to even take a speech out? Like a note?
Yeah,
notes.
I'll write one on the plane. I've got 3.5 hour trip there, haven't I?
You won't.
So this is the person who you hardly know whose stag do you're organising.
Mm. So my point was...
Boding well.
5 minutes ago... was that we've got to organise the stag do. And there are a few locations. So Liverpool's on the list.
Oh.
Obviously, Brighton. Bournemouth. Newcastle.
Why and who made this list?
Well, I said to him, I said, where do you want to go? And that was like a few of the places that he mentioned. So...
No.
Can you imagine me on a stag do as well?
Yeah. Or like go-karting with the lads. Yeah, I can.
So, can bear you? In mind, I spent Sunday
really
punting.
Really, no.
So, anyway, I was doing a little bit of research. And one of my main... I thought I was going to do like a pros and cons list, really. And one of my main concerns about going to Newcastle would be the... you know, the language issue, the translation problems. You know, like ordering food in bars.
They do talk English there, though.
Yeah.
Well, do they?
Yeah.
Well, they pronounce it Newcastle, for starters.
Newcastle!
Yeah. Well, they talk...
Newcastle upon Geordie,
Dane. Isn't it? So, well, okay, well, that's why I've made a little quiz.
Mm-hmm. You've made a little quiz.
Well, I found a quiz of sort of Geordie sayings and whether you can translate them or not.
Okay.
Okay, right,
so,
yeah.
We'll start with this one. How, mate... Can I lend a tab till the morrow?
Can you do it in the accent, ooh, just to give it the...
What?
Because I don't think we're going to be able to do this unless you give it a go.
Oh, okay. Oi, oi. Oi, oi. How, mate? Can I lend a tab till the morrow?
Sorry, is he going to Newcastle or Bristol?
I can't do it. I can't do a Bristol one, sorry.
It's something like, can I lend...
Lend you the money tomorrow?
Tenner or something, some money. Lend some money.
The money tomorrow?
Cab fare? I don't know.
Oh, so can I put this on your tab and pay you back tomorrow?
Yeah.
So
every day at the cafe around the corner, don't
they? No, that's incorrect.
Oh, what?
0 points across the board. That's actually, can I borrow a cigarette until the morning?
A tab!
A tab is
Because a tab is what the little filters are called sometimes.
Yeah. It's slotting down. It'll be clarty the morrow. Any idea what that means?
Sorry, say that again.
It's slotting down. It'll be clarty the morrow.
It's raining.
Be really wet.
Be slotty. It'll be what tomorrow?
But there's quite a bit of slotting in those nightclubs in Newcastle.
It'll be cloudy tomorrow. It'll be cloudy tomorrow. It's raining today, cloudy tomorrow.
Have we all seen Geordie Shore?
I will give you a point for that. It's pouring down. It'll be muddy tomorrow is the actual translation. That gadgie's twocked your bait. Any ideas what that means?
I think it's like that guy has nicked your girl.
No. I think it's that girl's checking you out.
Okay, fine.
Because it's got the bait. It's like you're the bait.
Possibly.
What was it? Clocked or
that gadgie's twatted your bait.
Oh yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I think it's that girl's checking
you're both
going
for that. That's incorrect again.
Oh.
I've not had to use the buzzer yet. That guy's stolen your food, which is obviously a common saying that's needed.
Bait.
Used every day, that saying.
Yeah, bait is food, that is right.
Okay, loads of little kids running around like canteens he's quite in my beard!
I feel like...
you should be doing this.
Yeah. I feel like I've proven my point already, but yeah. I'll carry on. How, man? I'm Nebby. Gizzer Deeks.
Oh, Deeks. Oh, I know this.
Is it I'm cold? Give me, I don't know, like...
How, man? I'm
jumper.
Nebby. Gizzard Deeks.
Yeah, is it a cup of tea?
No, it's incorrect. It's, hey, I'm nosy, let me see. Okay, we'll do one more
of these.
So do they... I bet Ollie's right. I bet some of these sayings do occur. They evolve, don't they? So... they would have said the actual words at some point, even in the Geordie accent, they'd have said the proper term. Mm. But then as the slang and it gets quicker, it just becomes a noise at the end of
it. It's just like Michael from Alan Partridge, isn't it? It just becomes undecipherable.
Yeah. You never had a cup of beans, man?
Yeah.
Okay, final one I've got in front of me. That band's giving me hackies.
Bairns.
B-A-I-R-N. Bairns.
That's that's something like child. Bairns is like a young lad, kid.
Okay.
It's giving me what?
Okay, what are you going with here, Seb? Because you need this to win.
Oh, I know what I'd guess the second part to be.
No, you can't.
Why can't I?
Trouble. Probably in trouble.
You're piggybacking Seb.
Probably getting in trouble or, you know, getting, you know...
I'd say it's getting on my nerves.
Bairns giving me hackies.
Giving me a headache. Headache.
Give me a bit of lip, you know.
Give
me
what? Do you know that's what? Illegal.
I'm going to give Seb a point. It's the only point of the game. That child staring at me aggressively, that band's giving me the hacking.
No, that's something a pedo says to cover up. That kid's staring at me aggressively, I'm going to have to go and have a word.
I'm going to take that data that we've collected there and cross off Newcastle from the stag do list.
Yeah. You'd probably cross off Liverpool as well, actually, if that's the rationale.
Thanks for all.
Also, they're very tribal when it comes to their football team, aren't they, Newcastle?
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you wouldn't be able to name a single player that's ever played for them.
Gazza.
Well, yeah, he had like one in 100,000 to pick from.
that's true.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is right.
Can you name another one?
Raoul Moat.
Yeah.
Now, what you've done there is he's
good. You could have a good shot on him.
And I give up forever to touch you, cause I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't wanna go home right now. And all I could taste is this moment, and all I can breathe is your life. And sooner or later it's over, I just don't wanna miss you tonight. And I don't want the world to see me, cause I don't. Broken. I just want
This is FUBAR. We take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. A gargantuan asteroid in the news this week, hurtling towards Earth with enough power to wipe out life as we know it. Well, that's the belief of an online community of biblical theorists who predict our collective demise will occur in September.
When do, these people should learn by history that these things never happen, do they?
I would just
a few times a year we get a new story of, oh, the blah 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 religion have calculated it, but by the book of blah 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 that next February 17th everyone's going to die, and it's never true.
I would just love to be there at midnight when it doesn't happen,
just to like give them a hug and tell them, come on, let's go and have a pint.
No, just to stand there and go.
Yeah, that would be satisfying. It's an odd, it's just odd, isn't it?
This is, I was thinking about this earlier though, and this is interesting because we often do the conundrum of, if you had, what would you do with your last day on Earth, isn't it? And every guy answers pretty much the same thing. And then, you know, there are the classics, aren't there? Spend time with loved ones. Get drunk because there's not going to be a hangover. You know, all those sorts of things. But the idea of...
I'd say it's probably the greatest hangover ever. Get really drunk and then never wake up for the rest of eternity. I think it's probably the worst hangover you've ever had.
But that isn't that an interesting contrast? The idea of have the one-day conundrum versus having 3 months.
I know, it's odd for them to say, was it September 1st?
Well, let's just say, hypothetically, NASA turn round. And let's say this is a real
thing. It's not
NASA have said, we know of absolutely no asteroid or comet that is on collision with planet Earth. But let's say, hypothetically...
So let's say there's no religious loons involved. This is a scientific experiment.
They've been so polite about it. They've gone, so the probability of a major collision is quite small.
Quite small. And by quite small, we mean there's more chance of God coming down and striking us all dead.
Hashtag, you are fucking lunatics. So let's say, hypothetically, NASA did verify an asteroid.
Yeah.
And they said, look, it is so large and it's coming at such a pace.
3 months.
There's very little we can do about it. We're all gone on September. So this is interesting because we've got a few months in the pot here.
Yeah, because normally you do like, the last day before you die, you do that and that. But 3 months, it's like...
Well, you have to deal with a lot of the consequences of your actions.
Well, the panic... At first you'd be like, nah! But it'd be like waiting for a crash that's 3 miles away. So like, when the car's coming, you go, nah! And then get splattered. But instead you go, no! I've got some time to kill now. But 3 months, what should we do with ourselves?
You know, you're probably still going to have to work for a few of those months.
No one would work.
Do you think not?
Where are you getting your money from?
Well, actually, would money just be redundant then?
Yeah, of course it would.
Who cares?
Society would just crumble into anarchy.
And also, where are you spending your money? Because imagine, is your local bartender who's 19, who's come over from Australia, who's trying to make a few... Is he going to fly straight back? No pilot's going to go, I'll still fly everyone to their destinations.
Well, no, everyone's going to need a bit of cash, aren't they?
For what? To spend where?
Well, because you need food and water.
But who are you paying for it off?
Yeah.
The people that are all keeping their jobs.
Why?
Why would they keep their jobs? Just so you can keep buying gluten-free bread.
If you're in it, say if you don't want to be a supermarket.
If Dorothy keeps working in the butchers, yeah. I'll keep broadcasting.
She won't. She'll probably go on a cruise.
It's not going to happen. Very few people are going to work. And the value of money.
Do you genuinely think it would all break down that
quickly? Yeah, of course it
would. Yeah, 3 months. If it was like 100 years, no. But 3 months, no one's going to keep their... No one's going to like...
Why would people bother anymore?
Yeah.
It'd be just having 3 months to do whatever you want to do, whatever you can do, until the end of the world.
And you wouldn't be able to spend... There'd be no one the other side of the counter to give you give money to.
It's not...
You keep doing your job, I'm going to have the time of life for the next 3 months.
Yeah. It's not...
You've chosen to work in the service industry, so you stay there.
Yeah. Government, they wouldn't... no one would pay attention to them anymore. It'd be absolute anarchy.
Oh, I just thought, I'll work for 2 months and then I'll take a month off.
You can do that if you want.
Yeah.
Restaurants will be having a jolly.
But you won't be having a jolly, because if no one's doing anything, you can't go anywhere. There's no petrol, there's no food.
Mm. Yeah. Well, would be petrol, but it'd be first come, first serve to get to that tank, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know, but that's not going to last you for 3 months.
I know, but people are still... You know, if you tell people there's going to be snow on a Saturday in the middle of winter, they'll go out and buy 10 loaves of bread and put them in the freezer. If you tell them we've got 3 months left to live, everyone's going to be fighting hammer and tong to go to petrol stations and fill up their car, aren't they? For free and not pay for it.
And so when the supermarkets are stripped and the petrol runs out...
We're all going to be glad when the asteroid hits us and ends it all. It'll be like some kind of glorious end to the torture. of a pre-apocalyptic world.
Wow, Seb.
Fuck me. You're right, aren't you?
Nothing would happen. Nothing would get done.
We'd all be starving by that point.
Yeah.
In fact, we'd all be
probably dead from starvation before the asteroid hit.
I don't know what the threshold would be, though, because, like, 4 months, I believe the same. Mm. 5 months, the same. 6 months, a year. Then at what point do we start to go, no, I think we would carry on working for a bit?
So that's a really good question. I don't know.
I imagine, like, there'd still be, even if you said it was 30 years away, there'd still be some people that decided to quit their jobs because there's no point. But for some people, they probably still would carry on working for 30 years, wouldn't they?
But it's the same thing we're talking about with the cancer. Like, say it's 30 years, it would change everyone's perception about what they want to do.
Mm.
However, a lot of us have probably only got 30 years left.
Yeah. No, that's true.
And we are going to...
We're still going to work.
Like, we are... I think a lot of us don't realise we are actually going to die. I don't think a lot of people are aware of that.
But it's all about almost like compliance, isn't it? Like, everyone does this, everyone chips in with the same old thing. You know, that conundrum of it all capping in 3 months' time, everyone's in the boat and they're all going to...
Yeah, it's because everyone's in the same boat.
Because everyone's in the same boat, have got to work for as long as possible to earn a living, to earn a good living. You play the game, don't you?
Yeah. It kind of scares me how close we are to anarchy all the time. Now you've put it like that.
But do you remember when the riots happened, like in Birmingham, down the road from us? Like... Mm. That felt a little bit end of the worldy. Any time I see anything like that, I just think, I can't see past the next day. I think, how's that? Not, why would that stop tomorrow? Why would that? Is this going to escalate?
The idea that Waitrose might not restock their shelves terrifies me.
Why? Because you're scared of going to Tesco, or because... Do you mean supermarkets in general?
Supermarkets in general.
Good, yeah.
The gradual realisation that we are descending into...
Yeah. Dreadful. It'd be awful, wouldn't it?
Oh, this has just absolutely ruined my day. It's not even funny, is it? It's not even funny.
No.
Well, you know, let's just hope for the first time ever the Christians are wrong.
Ollie Gallant and Si Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
Hallelujah. Maybe I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. And love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a time when you let me know what's really going on below, but now you never show that to me, do you? But remember when I moved in you and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew is hallelujah, hallelujah.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. It's amazing what can happen in a week.
Mm.
Scientists have developed an artificial leg that has sensors in it so you can feel your foot even though you have a prosthetic leg.
Wow. That is clever, isn't it? How does it... So if you, for example, had no leg from the knee down...
Yeah,
would a pulse would be sent from the top from the
pole, you know what I mean? Like it's not like Captain Jack, it's not like a wooden stick, but the complex prosthetic leg comes down. It's connected to the stump.
Mm.
There are some sensors that go into the nerve endings on the stump, How that happened, Simon?
No idea.
Don't ask me.
Jeez.
Some clever stuff happens there.
That is clever.
All right. It's not like plugging in your iMac. It's not a magnetic.
No.
I imagine there's something going on there.
Yeah.
That goes down, and then that goes into like a flat foot that would fit the shoe, and on the bottom of there are sensors. Okay. Wow. And one guy.
So when you take a step, you can feel the pressure of your foot.
Yeah, one guy that's.
Or fake foot.
Yeah, so one guy that's received this said it's genuinely like having a real foot. Yeah.
For each individual toe?
No, I think there are just sensors across it. I think across the bottom.
Oh,
so
right,
maybe
you
get
okay.
a feel of.
So would you feel pain?
Well, this is what I was thinking.
Would
because
you just feel like sensitivity, like almost an electric pulse being sent up your leg?
I don't know if anybody else has this, but you know, if you're at home and you're barefoot and you're rushing around.
Oh, no.
The classic. Yeah, no. The classic stub.
I hate that, stubbing the toe like the end of the bed.
Corners of desks, end of bed, skirting boards.
Just
up there, standing on a plug.
Yeah.
And you have that...
Less common.
You have that... and you're rolling around on the floor, and there's that moment...
I bite my lip and I like punch the wall. Yeah. Or you do that thing where you go to punch the wall harder, you just go...
You have that
just tap it. You just tap it. You go to thump it and you just... Oh,
you have
tap
that
it
genuine moment. And I sometimes get this with cramp as well, where you go, this is it. This is actually it.
This is the end of my
leg.
It's
all over.
This is ridiculous.
So, like, I wonder...
Would it feel heat?
No, I think it's just like a pressure sensor.
Oh, okay.
But I just like...
So just walking through lava, just like...
Imagine if there's like a remote control for it and it did feel pain. So you go and you hit your foot. Ah, shit, where's the remote? Ah, darling!
Well, they just take the prosthetic leg off.
Grab the remote!
Turn it down!
That's up!
Oh, that is bizarre. What
That's
a weird
amazing,
feeling.
Isn't it?
Maybe they'd enjoy it in a weird sadistic way. They haven't felt anything on their foot for years because they haven't had one. Now suddenly they've got sensitivity. Maybe it's like, I've stubbed my toe, it really hurts, but I'm so happy I've got this.
Bittersweet.
At least I can feel something. What's happened this week? Oh, it was my girlfriend's dad's birthday the other day.
Kev Ed.
They all got him some presents. They were going around to Hayley's sister's for dinner. I wasn't there straight away because me and you were playing basketball with you as, weren't we?
Just shooting some hoops.
Yeah.
Missing.
Yeah. We,
Rimming, probably, is probably a suitable title for it.
Yeah, politically not the best, but I arrived at the party late. They'd been dishing out presents and stuff. When I arrived, they were all in fits of laughter because Hayley thought it'd be funny to get her dad a card which said Happy Birthday Granddad on it. To which he opened it and looked at her and was like, no, really? And started getting emotional because he thought that me and Hayley were having a child.
Because he was excited about it.
He was excited about it. He started getting emotional. And then he opened it and Hayley had just written, only joking, happy birthday, Kev.
That is good.
It's so cruel though, because they didn't anticipate. He started like getting a little bit flustered, a bit emotional about it.
We're expanding the family. I'm the first of your children to have a grandchild. Only joking, mate.
Only joking. Hey! Happy birthday, wee.
That is...
It was unbelievable. I mean,
that
dedicated
is awful,
prank.
Isn't it?
I turned up though. I saw the card on the side. I was like, "Who's that from? Like, what? Who the hell is that card from? Is this your way of telling me and your dad?" Like, it was awful. Yeah.
Ollie and Si on FUBAR Radio.
Dancing in the sand. she's in me, always with me, tiny dancer in my hand. Jesus free. Tickets I've forgone, turning back, she just laughs. The boulevard is not that bad. Piano man, he makes a stand in their auditorium.
Radio.
This is FUBAR. Ollie, Simon, and our news reading friend Sebastian, Boston United's number one fan, is here as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth.
I was at the beach the other day in Cornwall. Really lovely day. Classic sort of Britain. There was a bit of a drizzle in the morning, but then it brightened up and there was a gale, but it was just about warm enough to sit on the beach with shorts but a hoodie. So it was that it was. I was on this huge
beach.
I saw
a photo of that. Those are very pink shorts.
They are really pink, aren't they?
Yeah.
Got a lot of compliments,
they're
actually.
They're sort of neon salmon.
Wow. There's nothing that bright about them. It's more pastel pink, I think you'll find. I've never said pastel pink in my life until just then. Yeah, I was on the beach. It's massive.
Did Hayley buy those for you?
No, I did.
Oh, right.
She wasn't even there. Do you know what?
It
was an independent purchase, that was.
An online purchase, was
no,
it?
No, never, right. Never buy clothes online.
The colour always looks a bit different online.
No,
they
never buy
brown,
clothes.
Came pink.
I will never buy clothes online, ever. Because shop to shop, like, I'm a medium in some shops, then a large in some, and then an XL in others. Like, how can I can't online shop.
Did you
like,
throw them in the wash with something red?
No. They're lovely.
Ordered.
Have you seen them?
I've not seen them.
I'll show you them in a sec. When we were on the beach, we just went for a little wade. We weren't kitted out for it. It was just like a spontaneous, let's nip to the beach for a few hours before we go. I went for a wade. About there was like surfing schools, and there's loads of kids out there, instructors, and the RNLI are there as well, constantly poised in case anything happens. And obviously, like when you're on a massive beach as well, you do feel like, you know, the elements can overcome anyone there. Like the
especially
power
when you're
of the,
wading in your pink
absolutely.
Shorts.
Well, no, not us, but like, you know.
But the lifeboat people are like, there's a couple of kids over there, watch out for them. And
they thought I was on for the next shift.
That guy in the pastel pink shorts.
That guy with those, if he bought those, he's clearly disorientated and there's a good chance the riptide will have him.
But natural selection and all. But yeah, there's a load of guys, and I just thought, like, any emergencies, they have all day. They can't just sit there on their iPods doing a crossword or whatever. They've got to be alert the whole time. And there was like a worrying moment where someone like went under after surfing, not to the point where they were having to run in, but just the school that was doing the surfing stuff like sort of went, oh, you know, we saw a little bit of a scuffle just to check she was okay because she'd gone under. But I'd never... It wasn't until I was 16 where I saw a genuine emergency. Like, have either of you ever been involved in anything where someone is potentially dying in front of you, or a real accident, or have you seen anything that you've ever had to...
Not live in person. I've seen 999 with Michael Burke a few times when I was younger.
Do you know what? The reconstructions of that scared me so much when I was a kid watching that.
That was the whole point, wasn't it?
It was awful, yeah.
But no, I haven't seen anything in person.
I was in Warsaw... And,
what, Poland?
Yeah. And I really, really wanted... It's an amazing city. And I was with my girlfriend and I desperately wanted to go and see the ghetto. And there was an area of the city where they literally rounded people up and they built a wall. And most of the city has been regenerated and it is stunning. It is absolutely beautiful. And the architecture is incredible, even the modern stuff. And I went to the tourist information. I said, oh, I really, really want to go to the ghetto. And she said... You do not want to go because it hasn't been sort of redone. There are people still living there in a fair bit of squalor, and it's a rough part of the city.
You wouldn't have thought so with a name like ghetto, would you?
You don't want to go over there.
Yeah.
But I just desperately wanted to see it. I thought there's not many times I'm going to be in Warsaw. I really, really want to go over there. And my girlfriend was reluctant to do it, so we walked out in the direction.
Your girlfriend and the tourist board are reluctant, but you went anyway.
I just thought I'd never get the chance really to see it, and I'm never just going to be passing through Warsaw again. You know, so I thought, well, let's just do it. And also, we'd been to Auschwitz, and I kind of was in
anywhere's a rose garden after that.
I'd
learnt so much, I was intrigued and I wanted to see more, and I'd read about it. So anyway, we set off and I went to bars and asked people and roughly got in the right direction, and people said to me, you don't really want to go down that side of town. And I persuaded Anna to to come with me. And we finally got there to this wall that's now crumbled, where people sort of managed to rush out of the ghettos. And there's still bullet holes all over the walls and iron bars and a lot of concrete clad, quite high buildings, sort of interspersed with little green park areas, which have sort of been regenerated slightly. Yeah. But it's kind
of... botched job.
It's kind of shrouded in a cloud of...
grey.
Yeah. Depression. It just it makes you low, the area. It's an oppressive area. And we had a packed lunch with us, and we sat on the bench in the park.
Oh, how quaint.
And I was trying to... and even Anna at that point had said, wow, this is actually unbelievable. Like, we'd seen... there were some amazing jewellery shops there that we went in, and we bought some jewellery, and it was really, really... I was definitely pleased that we went. And then suddenly there was this... like a dull thud and almost like a breath of wind from behind.
It's like a giant's footstep.
No, like something heavy had been dropped.
Like a giant's footstep.
And someone had thrown themselves off the...
jeez. Right next to you?
Right next to us.
So you saw them? That can't be nice to see.
No.
But did that feel like an emergency? Were people rushing to help him? Or like, how did that feel like an emergency?
The weirdest thing about it was, you always think if something like happened, there'd just be chaos. But there was a guy walking his dog, and he just carried on walking.
Really? So no one went over?
No. So, and gradually, like, people came to the edges of their balconies, and then one lady got upset, and then a crowd sort of gathered, and we moved over onto the other bench. But the really...
just move one bench further down. How sensitive. We picked up our belongings and moved and one bench down.
And finished our packed lunch on the other side of the park.
Mini cheddar?
I prefer the view from this bench.
But this is my point.
Baby Bell?
This is my point.
Cheese string? On a light note, pack of BNs? BNB.
Sounds like a great packed lunch, by the way, this. Anyway. Yeah.
I think that the...
Umbongo? No, it's all right. This is good.
I like where we are when we drive in your car. I like where we are here. Cheeks can brush, our lips can touch. Sleep next to me. I like where you sleep. I'm
the thing that I found, you, okay, here's the thing. You don't react like you think you'll react. And I actually was I sat there while they came out, they put a tent up, the coroner came in with the truck and loaded the body up, and what, and we just watched the whole thing from start to finish. Just almost stunned. We didn't even say anything to each other for an hour, or 2 hours maybe, as they cleared the whole scene up. And then everyone left.
Really?
And the park was...
You just had a long lunch.
Exactly the same as it was in the morning. And someone walked through, and I thought to myself, you have no idea.
Yeah, that just happened.
And we must do that all the time. We must drive down roads.
Yes, people must have died everywhere.
We must walk down paths where these things have happened, and you just don't sort of realise.
I know what you mean.
And you forget how close you are to death all the time, because in this country, we're constantly, it's hidden from us. Do you know what I mean? If someone dies, they're covered very quickly and they're taken away, or, you know.
They put those, it's like when a horse falls at the Grand National, they put those curtains up, don't they? Like dividers. I was once, when I was living back at my parents' house, there was some flats opposite, not like a high, not like just normal sized houses, just like downstairs and upstairs flats.
Yeah.
Right opposite my parents, so 12 yards away on the other side of the road, really intimate street on a high street in a town. And me and about 10 of my friends were in the lounge downstairs. It was the summer holidays and I was about 18, so, you know, we were drinking and just having a good time, and we had no school or anything to worry about, middle of the summer. We had the window open because it was quite hot, and suddenly some ash came through the window all at once, like a big flurry of ash.
Smoking a big one.
We anyway, then we put that down and we went outside. And we suddenly looked outside, and there was not just like some smoke emanating from a house, but fire coming out of the window.
Whoa.
And up, gushing up of the this flat opposite, this upstairs flat. So we all instinctively ran out my house and back and
started taking photos.
No. 18.
Videos. Instagram.
Instagram didn't exist. It was 8 years ago. No, hardly any of us had cameras on our phones. So
hashtag burn baby burn.
We went round there. Obviously, we didn't know who was in there, what was going on. This point, easily, every aspect of the flat was on fire. So there was flames coming out of the window and up over the top of the roof, like black smoke emanating. My friend Jim ran round to the back. My dad had to stop him because his dad's a copper, and his instinct was to just run in. Just didn't know what to do. He just went to run in. My dad was physically stopping him. It turns out, long story short about the people inside, that it was a babysitter with a kid. They both got out, but the dog died. The dog died in the fire that night. The parents were right at the cinema. They had their phones off because they were in a cinema.
Oh, God.
So no one could contact them until they got home. But outside, there was 3 fire engines, just the most amount of smoke. Like, I remember the ash coming down, this really vivid memory of looking up. The ash coming down, it felt like it was snowing. Like, it really did. It was that. So much chaos. 3 fire engines, those people. The family came back, like, didn't know what was going on. They had nowhere to go, so I invited them into the house, just like, do you want to just come in and sit here and just, like, watch
some TV? Sounds like you're bragging a bit there, mate.
I know.
Mine's still standing.
They found out about the dog while they were in our house. And it was just horrendous. And, like, I'd never been in an emergency situation. My, you know, Jim's reaction was to run into that house. But I, you know, looking at it, you're not going to run into the house without knowing what happens. It's like that classic thing when you learn how to swim when you're younger, you're taught to never jump in after them, never do that, because they will climb on top of you and kill you. They'll drown you. You know. So my gut instinct was not to go anywhere near it, because that could be another fatal body. It was that horrendous.
You would be an awful fireman, RNLI member, because you're too relaxed. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'd say if someone's life was at risk, I'd be right in there.
You're going, oh, don't get near him, he might drag me in. That's your motto.
No, when you do swimming lessons when you're a kid, you learn to swim.
Yeah, you can make the problem worse by...
Yeah, you're told never jump in after them. You try and take clothes off, try and reach from the side, but if you jump in, they'll be panicking, they'll be clambering all over you, you make it worse. You're never going to jump in after them, it's ridiculous. You have two people killed.
In fact,
it sounds like you're too impulsive. It sounds like you're just going to jump in headfirst and die with them.
On a positive note, though, at least Seb would go with someone clambering all over him.
I was going to say, I'm not going to take you serious as a lifeguard. Oh, look, this man's come to save my life. What is he wearing?
What are those? Is that pastel pink? Oh, let me die.
Ollie and Si on FUBAR Radio.
We'll be right back.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here. Of course, we're joined by Sebastian as well, our good friend and newsreader, who's moonshining. Moonlighting, isn't it?
Sorry, moonshining.
I was going to say moonshining.
He's just stood with his arse on the microphone. Bare arse on the microphone.
He's tweeting pictures of his rear end as we speak.
Okay.
At Seb Noble, if you'd like to see them on Twitter. Now,
hashtag peachy.
You've probably heard about the deadly heat wave that swept across India through May. I mean, it was really serious. A lot of people died, and I worry that we have
I assume that there's people within poor living conditions and things. It's not just people just like struck outside their house or something.
The problem we have with heat wave is we have very different heat waves in the UK and compared to real heat waves. A heat wave for us is when you have 2 days and it gets above 21 degrees.
One man's heat wave is another man's long weekend in Cornwall.
A deadly heat wave here would be a hosepipe ban.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Writing to the council about water.
Where the next door neighbour's sneaking out to wash his car in the middle of the night. Mm. Now, this was a serious heat wave. And what's happened now on Twitter this week is that the first showers of the monsoon season started. Now, we don't get very excited about rain here. In India,
of course we bloody don't.
They get as excited about rain as we do sunshine. Mm. You know what it's like? Here we go. Oh, it's going to be sunny at the weekend. But
apparently in two Thursdays' time, it's going to be sunny all afternoon. Yeah.
The other thing that's different, and you need to think about this to get your head around it, is that in the UK, you would never have a certain type of weather, say, in London, to a certain weather system in the Midlands. Because we're quite a small
country.
Not
really. Or there'd be a delay or something.
It'd never be 21 degrees in London and pouring with rain and 15 in the Midlands. It just doesn't happen like that.
Probably not.
Whereas in...
The differences are smaller.
Yeah. In India, obviously, it's much, much larger. So everyone on Twitter, hashtag Mumbai rain. Mumbai basically started boasting.
Really?
On Twitter.
Just pictures, selfies in the rain.
But no, this it got really out of hand. People were posting pictures in the rain like, woo! Just like the monsoon's here.
Really?
And of course, the rest of India's still in a massive heat wave.
Mm. Were they doing it in a gloating way or just in a, yes, it's monsoon time in Mumbai way?
Well, this girl's got a selfie with rain running down her face with a big smile on saying hashtag Mumbai rain. Well, it looks like gloating to me.
It's weird because we don't get those extremities of rain, but would you rather then have it really, really hot in England as much as it is in India and then rejoice when the rain comes, or would you have it as we and also on top of that, we never have to worry about like tornado. I mean, when other places, Jesus, when there's hurricanes in like America and stuff, it's, you know, the knock-on effect is years of damage. In this country, it's like your patio furniture's lopsided. That's it. This is all there is. So would you rather have that monsoony stuff and really hot weather all year round, or would you have it like it is now?
Would you exchange a warm summer with the threat of the occasional tornado? So we get blue skies every day, really, really nice weather, but you need to go into your basement occasionally when the tornado comes through.
No.
No?
I mean, I really like the rain anyway, so I'm quite happy with our weather.
What do you like about it? Listening to it, watching it?
Yeah, listening to it, watching it, walking in it, playing in it.
What do you do?
Well, you just, you know, jumping in puddles.
And also, the landscape would change. I was up in Scotland a few weeks ago. I said to my friend, we were sat out one evening having a beer, and it was a freakish, it was like 22 degrees. It was freakish weather. And we were looking out across the valley, and it was green and luscious, and snow-capped mountains. And I said to him, it has to be 350 days of absolute misery for this.
So it's as luscious as that.
Yeah. For that view, we've got to suffer for a year. Gales, rain, snow, sleet, shite.
I'd take it as it is, because also the tornadoes thing, like, yeah, I mean, we'd probably all be safe if we're in the basement. Oh, a second floor flat. Like, I don't know where I'm going to go. What am I going to do? I've got nowhere to be.
The washing machine.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be a nightmare.
I'm in the washing machine.
I'm in the washing machine. She's in the dryer next to me. But what would you do? Would you keep it as it is? Or
No, I'm actually quite, I mean, I get excited about big storms. You know, the idea of seeing a tornado does excite me. I like extremes, and I think I would really enjoy...
the Indian weather.
Yeah, I love motorcycling, and for me, a nice long dry summer would be a dream for me.
Okay, how about this then? I think it was... if anyone out there follows the I Fucking Love Science page... I know that sounds like a bit of a joke, because it's got a swear word in it, but... it's followed by millions of people on Facebook. It's a fantastic page to follow, millions and millions. I think it was an article on there I saw about seasons and about how they're changing slightly. We've noticed that a few times here, like
they're getting
autumn,
a bit more extreme. Yeah,
autumn, for example, we're getting longer. It seems like
Indian
the sun's
summers,
summers and things, slightly colder starts to the summer. But what would you say if there was a conundrum? If someone came to you, for example, Seb, and said, on your head, you can have one of the seasons all year round forever.
That's a great
So it's
question.
Never, you know, changes from one to the other. You've got four to pick and it can never change. It is just one forever. What would you do?
Probably, I mean, autumn is my favourite season, but I'd probably say spring.
Why?
Because you get at least a good mix of the weather and in spring the days are constantly getting longer.
You could probably never sunbathe. You could never probably sit on a beach comfortably with just shorts.
I could go to another country.
That's quite
I?
Clever. He sort of sat on the fence without really sitting on the fence there.
Okay, but it's too cold to grow a full crop.
What do you mean?
So in this country, we put a lot of our stuff in late winter, early spring, and then it takes months and months, and then in like August, September, we start harvesting.
Hmm.
That couldn't happen if it was spring.
No, but you're asking him what he could live in. I don't think we can talk realistic about growing crops, because if you just said I live in winter, then you couldn't have crops, could you?
No.
But that would be mine. I would choose a harsh, cold winter, because I think you get the best
But
of...
you choose, like, snow every day?
If I was living in the mountains, because...
No. If you lived in your normal situation, in the middle of the Midlands, sat on the hill... Well, skiing for one. I mean, on that hill, you could get a good little toboggan on, couldn't you?
I think it's no-brainer, because I used to live in the Alps. If I lived there, I would have winter. But the only thing I'd ask for is longer days.
You can't have longer days. No.
That's not part of winter.
No, I still take it. Beautiful sunshine, high-pressure systems. You still get a good dose of vitamin D.
You don't get sunshine during winter here, really.
No, but I'm saying if that's what I'd do if I lived in the Alps, I'd take a winter.
No, really,
we're not saying
no. I know, but I've thought about it now, and that's what I have to say. I can't think about it here.
What do you mean you can't think about it here?
Well, because I that's my perfect season if I was there.
Well, no, this is ridiculous.
Skiing
so
season.
If tomorrow your near future plans are here,
well,
right?
Obviously.
In the Midlands.
Okay, fine, obviously.
In the countryside, on a hill.
It'd have to be summer.
It's just such a fluctuation.
The polar opposite.
The polar opposite. Yes. Why?
Because longer days, you get to... It's more social, you see more people in
there
the
evening.
There
would be a water drought then, though.
You know, you can sit by the river here in Stratford, which is our hometown. I sat there the other night with my friend and we watched the sunset and drank beer by the river and I can cycle everywhere. Yeah, it'd have to be summer. Mm. It's a no-brainer.
I'd probably go autumn. Because the start of autumn would
be... It'd get boring. It's like orange Kit Kats.
What?
They're all right, okay? You know, they're on special... They're special when they bring a special offer in.
Sorry, what?
So, an orange Kit Kat.
Yeah.
Special offer, orange Kit Kat. You go, oh, I'll try that.
Limited edition.
It's a limited edition. I'll try it. And it's novel and it's nice. I like the orange chocolate.
Yeah.
And I'll have it for a bit. And it's novel.
Yeah.
But eventually, it's too much. You need to go back to plain chocolate. Otherwise, you'll just become so sick of orange Kit Kats... It'll put you off that, and probably Kit Kats as well.
Probably Terry's chocolate orange as well.
Are you talking all orange-based chocolate, really?
Well, I'm just using that.
What about
example?
Whisper Mint? I mean,
probably the same. Yeah.
I didn't think out of all this conversation it would be some orange-based chocolate bars that would take an absolute slamming in the end. I never thought they were going to be subject to this conversation.
Melt during summer as well.
Yeah, exactly. You can't have those. Just be a wafer.
Ollie Gallant and Si Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
Story, will we all change when we live our lives together strange. I didn't lose my mind, it was my answer giveaway. Couldn't stay to watch me cry, you didn't have the time, so I softly slipped away. It's just a point of view, but they tell me how to live by. I know from the outside each other, felt things were going wrong when you didn't like my mother. I don't want to hate, but that's all you've left me with, a bitter aftertaste and a fantasy.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon and Sebastian are here as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. And hello, Earthlings. One of the big stories this week was Oscar Pistorius.
Oh.
A lot of shock followed by anger in 140 characters across the Twitter world.
Lock up your daughters. Oscar's back. Preferably not in a toilet, of course. That won't be any good
whatsoever.
That was
exactly 140 characters that you've reached a limit there, Seb. It does seem quite shocking, doesn't it? It feels like not long ago that he was sentenced.
It really does. Feels like only a few weeks ago that he was sentenced, and now he's what, coming out of jail now already?
August is when he's likely to be.
And I know this sounds.
Can you remind, what was his sentence?
It was the equivalent of manslaughter, culpable homicide.
So what was the years?
I think was it about 3 years? I want to say.
It's not very long, is it? Does that sound long to you?
No. Well, this is the uproar, isn't it? I guess. I know this sounds simple, but she's still dead.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? You
know, she hasn't come back to life, no.
You know, sometimes there are crimes with, like, a grievous bodily harm or something, and when the victim comes out, the person's, at that point, has rehabbed, and they're back, and they're on, moving on with their life, even though they're scarred from the events, they've recovered physically from it.
Mm.
It's just so mad, isn't it? It's a year on, and her family are still in mourning, and she is dead. And he's, could go back into house arrest in August.
I know what you mean. You're trying to say, it's like, if he was in prison for 20 years, or 2 years, regardless of what, or if he died tomorrow, she would not be coming back. So I know what you mean. It is odd to get your head around that, from that angle, yeah.
And I guess what a lot of people jump to the conclusion that he's going back into a, because he is privileged, because he has a nice, he's financially well off and has a nice home, house arrest seems like a bit of an easy ride. That's the impression people are getting.
Is it, okay, is it in his current home, like where the murder happened?
That is something I don't know. I'm assuming, because he lives in that gated community, doesn't
he?
Yeah, I'm assuming he'll go back there.
See, that is odd, isn't it? Being confined, and how does it work? Is he confined to the inside of that house and guards live with him or something? Or
yeah, so
surely
you,
you
have an electronic tag, a GPS tag, which is restricted to the grounds of the house.
So are there people there with you?
Yeah, I imagine you'd be monitored. Yeah, yeah. Maybe someone. And also you're
grounds of the house, you go outside?
I imagine you're allowed in the garden.
Yeah, you're allowed out.
Wow, yeah. It's not sounding that bad.
There are phone restrictions on the house, so no voicemail, no call forwarding, no call, ringing people with caller ID or blocking it, no dial-up internet or phone line, so you can't have internet in the house.
Mm-hmm. Can you have, like, Xbox?
You're not allowed cordless phones, fax machines,
no
computer modems. It doesn't say anything about computer games, I guess, as long as they're not on
connected
the internet.
To the internet. That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
It'd be much like.
What about food? Where's that coming from? Are they?
Yeah, I guess it'd be an organised delivery, wouldn't it?
Mm. Yeah, just like.
Would he make that, or would they just Ocado? Would they like send it to him, going like, "These are your like ration packs, almost."
No, you would
not like rations, like stingy, but I just mean like, you know.
But like when you're a kid and you snicker like a Snickers six pack in there and you get to the checkout and your mum's going, "No, put it back."
No, I literally just mean like, you know, when you're sent to school with you. With your lunchbox.
You've hid it under the brown bread. A Cornetto Trio six-pack. Not putting that one on me, love. Get it back.
Oh, but mum!
Oh,
that's
dear.
True. But yeah, is it, you know, is he, like, getting to choose his food? Or do they, like, the prison or who organises his home arrest send
doesn't
it
doesn't give
in?
That information.
No, I think it. I imagine it will be more relaxed in terms of what he can eat.
It would be much like being a child again, though, of having to make your own. And like, I imagine there'll be a lot of like mini golf around the house where he's like putting into loo roll holders.
That would be good, actually, wouldn't it? That'd be great.
You know, when you go on the top floor and you have to hit a pan and then it hits that and then it goes down the stairs and rolls around.
At the minute, it just sounds like he's unemployed. He's watching daytime telly. He's always playing around the house. He's got no food to spend. He's got no money. He can't. Like, he's got no wireless and things, which is like the equivalent of not being able to pay his own bills. Like, it's just like being completely unemployed. But instead, he's in a mansion of a home with probably a lot of very expensive stuff in it. So it doesn't really sound. Would you, if you were the family, would you go, "Yeah, that's fine"? For your Reeva Steenkamp's family?
Do you know what? What I genuinely think, if I was Reeva Steenkamp's family, I would think...
Reeva Steenkamp.
Steenkamp's family, I would think that he is... regardless of whether he did it or not, and no one will ever know, will they?
Well, they know he did fire it. It's just the...
No, whether he murdered her or it was manslaughter, whether it was a horrible mistake. And no one will ever know that, for real, apart from Oscar. Either way, he will be enduring massive grief, depression. You know, his life before is gone. He's gone from one of the most celebrated people on the planet to one of the most mocked and hated in some parts. I think it must get to that stage where it just doesn't matter where you are. You're just fucking miserable.
Yeah. It's true.
Even if he was let out and he was on a beach in Malibu, he wouldn't be having a good time, would he? Well, I wouldn't.
No, I don't think no one would.
I think it's time, you know, time will gradually heal things for him personally.
Yeah, I would have thought there can be a point to which he can start to rebuild some form of life, because as time goes by, naturally, those things will...
Mm.
I'd probably move, though, at the end of Homer... Like, do you know what I mean?
Like every time he gets to the toilet, it would just bring back all the memories, wouldn't it?
Every time you go for shit.
Yeah.
Wait, you've been using the downstairs one the whole time, and then like you're in the middle of the night, but you don't want to go downstairs all the way downstairs. It's just like, oh god!
And every 5 seconds, you'd be like, "There's someone in here! There's someone in here!"
I would move. It would feel like a jail to me, because
that's the point.
Home arrest. No, I know, I know it is, but it would feel that way. It wouldn't feel like a home anymore. So I think if I got to the end of my home arrest and I'm allowed out, I would sell the house and move to a different one somewhere else.
I think eventually he probably will do that, but I'm not sure he's allowed to do that under the current rules.
Maybe they could do like a relocation location special where they send Kirsty Allstrop out.
Allsop again. You're bad with names, mate.
I'm very bad with names.
Or him and Phil Spencer just looking around like Camden for a lovely like one bed.
That's it. Yeah, I think, and that would be a 1 hour special, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just disabled access you'd need as well. Be a lot of different variables to find him a good house, wouldn't there?
Yeah, Kirsty would be up to the job, though, I imagine.
See what you do. Everybody's positive. Alexander on FUBAR Radio.